It has been a cold and snowy week in Milwaukee, but there's at least one professor at Marquette University who really hasn't noticed. Stefan Schnitzer spends months at a time at his forested lab. It's an island in the Panama Canal waterway called Barro Colorado.
Schnitzer and his team are focused primarily on a native woody vine, or liana, that climbs up the canopy of trees. Lake Effect Susan Bentz met Schnitzer at his Marquette lab before he set off for Panama. He explained what he's learning about lianas and its impact on tropical forests and beyond.
These vines are actually spread across hundreds of different species, right? And probably a quarter of all of the plant families have some sort of vine-like growth form. So they're really, really ecologically diverse and taxonomically diverse. So they've evolved multiple times. So it's a very successful way to be a plant. What's happening now is the forests are changing enough to where they seem to be thriving when many trees are not thriving as much. So some of those, for example, the forests we're working in where we have some of our really large-scale studies, tree population numbers tend to be going down a little bit where the liana population numbers are increasing. Early in climate change research, the 1990s, which wasn't so long ago, but this is really when we started to notice these large-scale trends that were actually trends, because we didn't really start seeing these big spikes in temperature and CO2. Well, CO2 levels were going up, temperature started going up, and the weather started to change in the 80s and 90s. But in the 80s and 90s, we couldn't distinguish climate from weather. We didn't know if it was just a series of strange dry years. But when 15 out of your last 16 years have been record-setting temperatures, I mean, this indicates that all of the theory for what should happen when you release these greenhouse gases into the air in terms of heating up the environment, well, this is exactly what we're seeing. And so it's a pretty good ecological test, even though we only have one Earth, so we're only replicating it once, right? But it's exactly what you would predict, and this is what's happening. And what people thought initially was the biggest changes will happen at the poles. This is where we need to go. You know, the ice sheets are going to melt, glaciers are going to melt, and this is happening. And they were right. People thought the tropics would be fairly stable, but we're starting to see big changes in the tropics now. And these forests are now transitioning into different forests. They tend to have slightly longer dry seasons. Their plants are more water stressed. And in many of these communities, the tree species that are drought tolerant seem to be doing a little bit better. And the ones that aren't seem to be doing a little bit worse.
What I read was that you were following sort of what was conventional science and research when you started in, but you've taken a giant leap. How has your research changed over your time of studying?
Well, we've always been testing broad conceptual theory in ecology, and we're still testing broad conceptual theory in ecology. I guess the difference is now we're starting to see these forests change, and we happen to be studying one of the groups of plants that is benefiting a lot from these changes. And so in a way, my work is a little bit more applied, but that's just one arm of my research program. We're still studying the same kind of conceptual theoretical ideas in ecology because those last, right? Those aren't fad areas where you say, oh, something's happening, let's go and study that, and then 5 years later something else is happening, so you have to drop everything and go study a different thing. When you start studying fundamental questions in the field, you can apply those to all of the bigger changes that are happening, and that's what we are trying to do.
Is part of your research setting off plots and removing the vine from some areas and not others and see what a difference that makes in what's growing in those plots?
Right. Well, initial grant from the National Science Foundation to do this work was to look at the ecosystem ramifications of changing tropical forests. And so if we remove the vines, what would we expect to see in terms of carbon sequestration? Tropical forests are critical ecosystems for the planet because they store about 40% of the terrestrial carbon. And so when you start getting changes to tropical forests, even small changes that release carbon means that there's a lot more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's not being pulled into these terrestrial ecosystems like tropical forests. And so that was the motivation for this grant. But there were also other conceptual motivations, like if we could explain why things are taking advantage of different periods of the year, like say, for the example, the dry season, we could also start to look at what mechanisms explain the distribution of plants, which is one of the fundamental questions in ecology. I mean, why are there so many species, and what mechanisms explain plant distributions and animal distributions? are two really fundamental questions. And if we understand and answer those questions, we can then say we will have very strong predictions of what species should do well under a changing climate scenario.
So over your time there, has the abundance and actually the number of species of plants declined?
Yeah, some have, and some have increased quite a bit. And so right now we're finishing a census that has taken us about 2 years of about 65,000 individuals that we censused initially in 2006, 2007.
And we 65,000 what's?
Vines.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This is why I have a full-time field crew that is doing this work. And at this point, they're far more experienced than I am. So they're out there doing this work 5 days a week, and we're almost on, and we will be able to quantify. And the reason why we need so many individuals is because there are about 200 species, 180 species right now, and we're finding new ones. And you have to have enough replication to where you can actually notice a clear trend in change. So out of those 180 species, we have about 100 species where we have enough replication to where 10 years later, we will be able to say, these groups are increasing, these other groups are decreasing. And we'll be able to trace that back to the functional characteristics of those species and say, oh, these ones are increasing because they do very well under drought conditions, if that's the case. And that's our prediction. And some of these other ones that are decreasing may not be as drought adapted. And so that's the prediction, and we'll see if that is the truth. But this all came about from our work on fundamental basic research questions about what explains the distribution of these organisms. And we're finding a lot of them are distributed in these very dry seasonal forests. And these are the ones that seem to be doing really well. And so whether they're doing really well, we'll know after we analyze these data.
You bring a lot of money to this research. What do other scientists and science organizations hope this can achieve? What we need to protect? How we can adapt?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, what we need to protect, but also what's really happening in these forests. It's only when you start studying big chunks of the forest, and then you have to start doing manipulations to quantify what the significance really is. I mean, you can say, well, this group is increasing and that other group is decreasing, but some people would view that carbon storage in tropical forests is a zero-sum game, right? If one plant outcompetes another one, it just takes its carbon, and carbon stays fairly stable over time. And so who cares if there's plant A or plant B or the pink plant or the yellow plant? It doesn't matter, right? What we're finding is that assumption is absolutely false. When we get an increase in some of these groups and a decrease in others, it is not a zero-sum game, and these tropical forests seem to be pulling up less carbon and storing less carbon over time. And that's a huge concern, because this could be one of these positive feedback loops which liberates more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. As temperatures go up, it will start getting faster and faster, and the forest will not take in as much carbon as we expect them to absorb.
So a figure that's sticking in my brain is 76%.
Yes, 76% is the number that our data hold us, and that's per year. 76% less carbon uptake. Now,
right.
Now hold on. This is the whole effect. It's not the slight increase effect. That we're still working out the numbers for. The 76% effect is the effect that lianas have on tropical forest carbon uptake, and you can call it accumulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you didn't have those vines, forests would be storing a lot more carbon. And the reason why this happens is these vines tend to have fairly small volume, but they displace the volume in trees. 95% of the carbon in tropical forests is in the trunks of trees and in the soil, but most is in the trunks of trees. The vines are not a fraction of the size of these large trees, but they stop the large trees from growing, and they increase the mortality of these trees. So what they do is they're increasing carbon cycling fluxes, and that's bad, because that means more carbon is going into the air and then slowly being pulled out. What we want from these forests is that they pull the carbon in and hold them into a tree trunk for 1,000 years. And that's what we would expect.
Ecologist and biologist Stefan Schnitzer spends part of his year at Marquette University, where he is the Mellon Distinguished Professor of Biology. The other part of the year is spent at his lab in Panama, and he spoke with Susan Bentz.